Lord is here in this place. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Enjoy and appreciate the worship team this morning. Good to have one of Tim and Charlie's friends here this morning from all the way up in, is it Gastonia? Is that where you're from? Forgot your name. Peyton? Good to have you and your family here this morning. Thanks for coming and worshiping with us. Amen. Thank you, Tim. God bless you this morning, brother. We have been going through... Lord is so good. Just looking out at this great crowd of people. The big old smile on your faces. Amen. Turn with me to Nehemiah. Really? Really? Yeah. Hey, we have been going through the book of Nehemiah. For those of you here for the first time, that's the Nehemiah is not a funny word. It's just that we've been going through Nehemiah for the last, or actually since July. We started in July, and we have been going through Nehemiah a verse at a time, phrase at a time, different sections at a time. And I'll tell you what, Nehemiah is just a great book of just recalibration. The Lord spoke to me several weeks ago and said 2015 for Faith Assembly, and I believe for the Church of Jesus Christ, is a year of recalibration. Last Sunday, in the service, I looked at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 13, and how the leaders of the households and the ministers and the priests and all those that were part of that reconstructed group of folks in Jerusalem came back together, and they said, okay, we're going to pay close attention. In fact, we're not going to look to the left or to the right. We're going to find out what God's Word says, and we're going to do what God's Word says. Now, we didn't go into last Sunday the response to what they read, but today we're going to. And in fact, Sunday night last week and then all throughout the week, we hit a couple of different things each night of what I believe the Lord would have us to do as far as recalibrating back to God's Word. We got more specific, in other words, throughout the week. And if you missed any of the services and you need to get some notes, you can ask around or ask me. I can help you out with that. But it's just stuff that the Lord would have us do that based on God's Word. And by the way, let's just thank Him again for the salvations here this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those that got saved. Now, here's what you do. If you ask Jesus in your heart this morning, this is part of the deal, is that you don't just, ask Jesus in your heart and then you just go do what you've always done. What you do is from this moment on, you've repented. So you're turning around from where you were headed, and you're headed in the absolute opposite direction, and that direction is towards Christ. And so, Tammy, God bless you. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God and anybody else. But here's what we'll do this morning. This is what I need you to do. And that's what we kind of did all this week, was just say, hey, listen, if we're at a five in this particular category of our lives, let's make it a six. Let's move, towards God, in other words, like this. Let's be more like Christ instead of less like Christ in this area. If you're at an eight, let's click into a nine, So it's not like we're all going to hit 10. In fact, none of us will ever be 10s in these areas, because 10 implies perfection and none of us are perfect, except for a few people that I'll have to talk to later on, and now you know who you are. But nobody's perfect in this place. Nobody except for Jesus in this place. And so He through us works through us to work towards that perfection, but we'll only be perfected once we see Him face to face. I have some things to cover here this morning, so if you'll stay with me just a little bit past noon, I'd appreciate it. I know we normally get out of here by noon, but we're going to stay a little bit longer this morning because God decided He wanted to do some different things here this morning. Is that all right for Him to have His way in His service? For Him to do what He wants to do? Is that all right? Yeah. I'm sure He appreciates that. Verse 13 is where we looked at last week, and this title of this message this morning is The Very Best Booth Materials Money Can't Buy. And so we'll talk about that a little bit as we go here this morning. And again, the whole theme of it is recalibrating. So I want us to look at verse 14 through 18, and we're going to finish up Nehemiah eventually, and we're just going to take it one section and verse at a time. And on this particular section of these four or five verses that we're going to read, we're going to spend a couple of 2-3 weeks on it, but I want to give you the context of what's going on here, and then I'm going to pull out a particular verse and focus on that this morning. So if you're at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 14 through 18, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. Now they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Now go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees and from myrtles and palms and shade trees to make temporary shelters, as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters in, on their own roofs and in their courtyards and in the courts of the house of God and in the square by the water gate and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company had that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. So let's look at this. Now, just as an overview, this festival, this seventh-month festival, it was called the Festival of Booths. In fact, the Festival of the Booths celebrated the final harvest of the growing season there was 7 days of celebration there. It included these temporary shelters that they built that we just read about. It was one of 7 yearly celebrations or feasts, celebrations or festivals that was meant to be a joyous time of thanksgiving to God and thanks for his blessings and thanks for his faithfulness. And the thing is, as we read, it said it hadn't been observed since the days of Joshua. That represents over 1,000 years that this particular celebration had not been observed. That's a long time. And so they finally, in response to reading God's word, as we looked at last week, here's the response of it. They decided that they would honor him, and all that they would do, they determined to resume this celebration with all of their hearts. And so what I want to do is I want to take verse 15 and I want to read it in the King James, because if the NIV that I just read from it was a little vague on these trees or these branches. And so the King James actually lists and it actually lines up more so with the rest of the interpretations of it, the rest of the King James, New King James, all these different ones. King James lines up with the rest of the versions of it more accurately than the NIV. So I want to read verse 15 with that in mind, and this is how it says. In verse 15 it says, "Go forth unto the mount and fetch, number one, olive branches, number two, pine branches, number three, myrtle branches, and number four, palm branches." And then it kind of goes into more of a general sense of branches with thick trees to make booths, it is written. So I want to talk about these four branches, these four tree types that were named here, because I really couldn't, as I read this months ago and I got to this part right here, I thought, I wonder what those four trees are all about. I couldn't wait to get to this particular message to study what these trees represent, because, you know, everything in God's word is for us today, even a listing of trees. There's symbolisms and different things that are going on. So as we look at this and say, well, why these trees? What's the importance to me today for these four trees? Well, let's look at that and see what that says. Now, I also want you to kind of keep with me here that these booths, these temporary booths that this is talking about, really represent our bodies, because we're all in temporary shells. We all know that we're getting old, and one day, unless the Lord returns to catch us up, we're all going to die, and this body is going to give out on us. So that's just the way that it is. No one has ever gotten around that except for a couple of guys, and that's not this Sunday's message, so we'll talk about that some other time. But it is appointed unto man once to die. So this is a temporary booth, and so it would behoove us to take this temporary booth that God has given us and construct it with the wisest of materials, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? There's all kinds of materials that the world has to offer, and we can absolutely build this temporary structure with those things, but a lot of it is not good for us, and there's four things at least that are listed here that are good for us. So that's what I want us to look at, these four materials that are symbolic of our walk with Christ and what we can do to make it better. Now, I'm not a cabinet maker. I'm not a furniture maker. I know, John Clark, you are. Other people are maybe handy with wood. But I do know that woodworking men and women prefer certain types of wood depending on what they're going to be creating. There's the pine, the oak, the cedar, the hickory, the walnut, all those things that have their best applications in certain pieces. So the same thing goes with these dwellings that we're going to construct here today and hopefully maybe even reconstruct as we recalibrate. So it's the olive tree, the pine tree, the myrtle tree, and the palm tree. And let's see what we get into this forest stockyard and pull these things out, what our carpenter Jesus would have us to do with them this morning. First, let's look at the olive tree. Now, the olive tree in the Bible is most always used as a symbol of abundance and blessing. How many of us would like to live a life of abundance and blessing? Anybody at all? Yeah, all of us, of course. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says this: I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Say that with me, even as your soul prospers. You see how they've connected that? We all love this verse. Oh, I want to prosper and be in good health. I want to be blessed. And, you know, Stephen, what you read earlier, you actually, I'm going to read it again because that's part of my message here this morning. It's coming up in just a few moments. So I thought, oh, great, he's preaching my message. Here we go. But that's just how the Holy Spirit works. I love it. So we're going to get this reinforced again this morning. We love this verse because we want in all things to prosper. But you see how John, how the Holy Spirit through John attached a caveat. It's, I would that you would prosper as your soul prospers. What he's saying was, at what level that your soul is getting along, that's what I equally wish for your physical well-being. And to put it another way, he's saying, I wish that at whatever level that you focus on, at whatever level that you pursue your creature comforts and your wealth and your physical strength and appearance and your careers and your title and all of that, I would that you would take that same effort and that same passion and that you would make sure that your soul is doing at least equally well. To add to our construction materials, the olive tree is to say, I want to cover myself with God's abundance. How many wants to cover yourself with God's abundance and blessings? I want to make sure that I'm surrounding myself with God's blessings. I want to undergird myself with his prosperity. I want that my soul would prosper as I walk in obedience to his word and pursue a daily, intimate, ever-growing relationship with him. As I seek him first, the Bible says, in his righteousness, then the Bible says all these other things will be added unto us. We like the other stuff. We like all these other things. But the flesh pushes against the whole seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. But that's what John is saying as well. I would that you would prosper as your soul prospers. You can't have one without the other. Listen, as we heard this morning in Deuteronomy, as Stephen read it, this was a promise that God spoke to the children of Israel, and I'm going to read 14 verses of it. I'm going to take a little bit at the front, a little bit at the end, and take what you said in the middle there, and we're going to make it all happen. And I want you to know that this promise is not just for God's people, the Israelites, as they were coming out of the wilderness and into the promised land, but this promise is for you today, and I want to declare over you today that 2015 is a year where you're going to receive your promised land. That 2015 is going to be a year where you're going to walk in that he has prepared for you. No more wandering in the wilderness. No more trying to figure out what God wants you to do. This is the year. Receive it in Jesus' name. This is the year where you're going to receive what God has been preparing for you. Amen? It's time for us to walk in that promised land. But here it is. Here's the caveat of walking in that promised land. Because you go, yeah, I finally get to do it. But you don't get to do your own thing in it. You do what he's called you to do in it, because you can't have one without the other. So here it comes, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14. Follow along with me. If you fully obey the Lord your God, what? Fully obey, not partially, not when you feel like it, not when it's convenient. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you. In other words, they'll not only get on you, but they'll stay with you. If you obey the Lord, your God, you'll be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks, and your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed, and you'll be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out, and the Lord will grant all the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated right before you. They will come at you from one direction, but they'll flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything that you put your hand to. I like that part. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens and the storehouse of his bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands, and you will lend to many nations but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top and never be at the bottom. So, don't turn aside from any of these commands that I give you today, to the right or to the left, by following other gods and serving them. Now, I don't know about you, and these are more than just words that took place 4,000 years ago or however long ago to the promise of the children of Israel. That promise is for you and for me today. I don't know about you, but I want that, and as opposed to the other. I mean, take that and read the opposite of it. You want that? No, you want what that says, don't you? Of course we do. But it always comes back to if, then. If, then. Oh, I want to prosper, even as your soul prospers. Oh, I want all these other things. Well, you better seek God's first kingdom first and his righteousness. You see how that goes? You can't have one without the other. It doesn't work that way. Now, regardless of how it's been in the past for you, I want to encourage you, if going forward, that you include the olive tree branch, which represents abundance and blessing, that's directly connected with walking in obedience to his word and pursuing relationship with Christ. Take that and let that be part of your materials, of your temporary shelter, of who you are, your life as long as you live, and then we can be assured of God's prosperity in every area of our lives as our soul prospers in him. Amen? Amen. Here's the second material. The second material we see in our text today is the pine tree. Now, one of the main components of the pine tree is that it's a pleasant and aromatic sort of fragrance. Now, we just came out of a season, a holiday season, where how many had a live pine tree in your house? Just lift it up. See, a few of you. That's a huge business out there. Everybody's buying pine trees, you know, and there's nothing like that fragrance. When you walk into the house and... Oh, yeah, I remember that live pine tree that I got a few days ago. It smells good, doesn't it? Yeah, very aromatic and fragrant sort of smell. You know you're getting near a pine tree because you can smell it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful fragrance. 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15 talks about this aromatic fragrance in this way. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses to spread the what? Aroma our fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So with that said, in this way, the pine tree is symbolic of our fragrant witness of Christ. Now, we can tell when we're passing by a pine tree, as I said a moment ago, because that fragrance is undeniable. It's distinctly pine. We just inhale it. Enjoy the refreshing scent, and we're invigorated. So let me ask you this. When others get around you, do you put off a sweet fragrance of the witness of Christ? Do people smell his love and his compassion, his tenderness, his goodness, his forgiveness? The essence of Christ, all the characteristics of who he is coming out of you, are they refreshed or are they repulsed? And we all know some repulsive smells that we produce, and I'm not going to even go there this morning. But the pine tree represents in our lives the sweet fragrance of our witness of Christ. Jesus commanded us to go and tell everyone, everywhere, about the good news of great joy that the angels proclaimed at his birth, which shall be to all people. A Savior unto us has been born today, and he has been born so that we can be saved. The pine tree is our fragrant witness of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and may it always be a sweet and life-giving and refreshing fragrance emanating from us to a lost and dying world. So we have the olive tree, which represents his blessings and God's abundance. And we have the pine tree, which represents the sweet fragrance of our witness of Jesus emanating out from us. And next we have the myrtle tree. The myrtle tree. And if you know anything about the myrtle tree, it has a large, low-lying, expansive sort of branches that provide shade from the heat of the day. So in this context, the myrtle tree is symbolic of God keeping us through his Holy Spirit until the Lord returns. You know, we're living in times of danger and uncertainty. How many would agree with that? We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that God has promised this in Deuteronomy 31:8. It says this, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." Now, these words were spoken to Joshua, again, as he was taking the leadership reins from Moses. Moses was getting ready to step aside, and here comes Joshua, and Joshua was encouraged with these words that God would never leave him. God was assuring him of his constant watch care over his life. He would go before him, and he would never leave him. And here's another promise that Jesus, in the New Testament, gave to his disciples not too long before he was crucified. It's found in John 14, verses 16 through 17. It says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate," capital A, advocate, "another counselor, to help be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Now, the Holy Spirit has many titles. I'll list a few. He's our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our keeper. He's our protector. He's our guide. He's our helper. He's our teacher, amongst so many other things. You can see in that list how imperative it is that we would have the product or that building material of the Holy Spirit in our lives in this temporary shelter until Jesus returns for us. You know, Jesus gave us his Spirit to keep us until he returns, and without the Holy Spirit, folks, we're vulnerable to all kinds of attacks from the evil spiritual elements of this world. But thank God for his Holy Spirit. He's like a large, low-lying, expansive branch system in our lives that provides for us shelter and shade from the withering heat of the noonday attacks. Thomas Cooper, wave at me, and everyone look over at Thomas for a minute. I want you to hear a story about Thomas Cooper for a second. Thomas is originally from Liberia, and back in 1990, he was a young man, so he lived still at home, early 20s, I would imagine, something like that, and Liberia was going through a very difficult internal civil war, and some terrible, terrible people were rising up and pretty much going through village after village and sweeping over them and killing everybody in sight. In fact, I just read this morning where that happened in another country by the Boko, now I see, and I know this is not right, I don't mean to say it, it's Boko Haram, the Boko Haram. And let's pray for that. In fact, let's do that now. There's 2,000 people that were slaughtered yesterday in some country in Africa. Father God, these people that have been slaughtered, mostly children and older people that could not run as fast as those that were slaughtering them could they couldn't get away from them. Lord, there's families that are left grieving this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would sweep in right now and comfort each life in this country of Nigeria where this terrible, terrible act took place. And God, by your Spirit, comfort them. And God, let it be something that you'll remind us of to pray for them, and that this evil force would be thwarted, that these men that are going and doing this evil atrocity would repent and turn to you, and that they would be just as vigorous and just as passionate about proclaiming your gospel and spreading your gospel as they are doing what they're doing right now. That evil force behind them, we come against you, Satan, in Jesus' name, that your plans would be thwarted, that this won't happen again, that you'd raise up a standard of protection over these people, these innocent people, and don't let not one more death happen. Oh God, that your guardian angels would rise up and be visibly present for these people that are trying to come against them, and that they would turn tail and run and flee because of your protection over these people, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Thomas, this very thing happened to you some 25 years ago. And he was telling me this story that is so applicable to today. The Holy Spirit had compelled him to stay home that day while his parents and other siblings went off to another town, another village, maybe 10 or 12 miles away, something like that. Is that right? 10 or 12 miles away. And so the Holy Spirit compelled him to stay there, and he all day long was praying. And he knew that there was some things going on in the area, but then sure enough, they started coming through his town, and he heard noises, and he heard people say, a leader say, you know, if you find anybody, kill them. It doesn't matter who they are, just kill them. It's just an automatic, they're dead. And so he had furniture in his house, and one of the pieces of furniture was a large kind of a sofa chair. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you get under that chair, and you just, you know, cover yourself with this large sofa chair. You can imagine it being turned over, and there's a little place there like a tent for him to hide under. And he began to pray, and he continued to pray. And he heard the people come in, and they were going through the rooms and hollering out if anybody was there. And they were turning over all of the furniture, and he felt them get very close to them. But they didn't, because they didn't even touch that chair that he was under, and they didn't even know he was there. And the Holy Spirit protected him, and he's here today as a result of God's faithfulness, because he could have very well been killed that day, but the Holy Spirit directed him and was his keeper and protected him to get under that chair. And they went through, and that whole village was decimated, but Thomas lived to tell about it. Isn't God good? And that is a very tangible expression and a very practical story of what God wants to do in your life and my life. He's telling us constantly, get under the chair. You know what I'm saying? He's telling us constantly, do this and do that. He's directing us. He's keeping us. And he's our protector. He is our refreshing. He is our time of when we are wearied by the attacks of the enemy, that we get under the shelter of his wing. In fact, Thomas told me this, that he began to quote Psalm 91. And Thomas, when you told me this on Friday night, I'd already prepared this message on Thursday. And this is where the Lord put in Psalm 91 for me, verses 1 through 7. I said, all right, God, you want someone to know what's going on here this morning. And so, Thomas, thank you for letting me share this story. But Psalm 91, the Holy Spirit's doing something in this place, by the way, you guys. Guys, he's speaking to some lies here this morning. None of this is coincidental, what's going on here today. Listen up. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7 says it best. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he'll save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll find refuge, and sometimes under sofa chairs. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And that's what happened with our brother, and that's what's happening with us. You've got to know that the Holy Spirit has protected you from harm. He has told you to turn left when you wanted to turn right. He has told you to stop when you wanted to keep going. He has told you and directed you in certain ways to keep you from harm and to keep you under the shelter and the shadow of his wings. Let's give the Lord thanks this morning for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us from harm, for sheltering us. So we have the olive tree of God's abundance and blessing. We have the pine tree of our fragrant witness of Christ to others. And then we have the myrtle tree of God's keeping us through his Holy Spirit, which brings us to our fourth and final tree, the palm tree. Now, we all know what palm trees look like. They're very distinct in their appearance. One large towering post is maybe 40 or 50 feet tall with a beautiful spray of large palms that's emanating from the top and drooping down. It's a beautiful display. Now, the palm tree has a lot of different symbolisms in the Bible, but in this context, it represents our long-term commitment to serving God. Listen to Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. And you see, palm trunks in this shelter that was being created, this temporary shed for these 7 days, the palm trunks were used as posts for these temporary dwellings. They're very firm and dependable. I mean, imagine, again, a palm tree. So they took these posts of these trunks of these palm trees, and they created posts to build the hut or the booth around. And that symbolizes our need for a long-term standing firm in the faith that we have proclaimed. Maybe some of us have served the Lord for 30 minutes. Maybe some of us have served the Lord for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Maybe some of us are in between. But in our walk with Christ along the way, there's always going to be opportunities to stray. In our walk with the Lord along the way, there's always going to be temptations to veer off from the path. In our walk with the Lord, there's always going to be opportunities that we're just going to want to park at the roadside rest stop and just never get back in the car. How many's ever been in a place like that spiritually? The palm tree material will keep us from that, though. As we construct our lives with a determination to serve Christ no matter what. Say that with me. No matter what. And not to shrink back. Not to give in, not to give up, will be, as the psalm says, a flourishing tree still bearing fruit in our old age. That's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for each one in this place. I know we got some folks in here that are in their 80s. And my prayer is that until the Lord gives you, you know, causes you to breathe your last when you're 100 or 150 years old, that every moment of every day of your life, young person, old person, everybody in between, that for all of your days, that you'll still bear fruit, even in your old age. Hey, none of us have a retirement from the kingdom of God and our responsibilities. Our retirement plan is really great in the sense that one day we're going to get to heaven, and that's just a beautiful package that he's prepared for us. But until then, we don't retire from the calling that God's put on our life. As long as you have the breath of life in you, you proclaim the life of Christ through you to others. That long term, I will not give up. I'll do what he's called me to do. But here's it in. You got to make sure. Here's the other part. What we just read, you got to make sure you read it again carefully. It says that we must be planted in the house of the Lord. There's that thing again, you know, that whole, you're going to flourish, but you can't plant a tree out in the middle of a desert somewhere and expect it to do well. Unless there's an oasis underneath, it's going to wither up and die. The proper environment needs to be there for that tree to do well. It's got to be, you know, have some roots to go down and grab some water. It's got to have that nourishment that's there, that's needed. And the only way that we're going to be nourished and do well in our relationship with the Lord is if we're planted in the house of the Lord, which represents relationship with him, which represents prayer, which represents studying his word, which represents forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, but coming together for those that are in like faith, so we can encourage and admonish one another, and that the Holy Spirit can do what he wants to do to help us to continue to grow, to be more like him. Only then will we flourish. Only then will we continue to be fruitful, even in our old age. I see so many people throughout the years of my ministry where when things are going well, they fade away from church. And when things aren't going so well, they show back up and say, "Pastor, I need you to pray for me." Don't be one of those people. Be one of those people that says, "I will keep my oil in reserve. I will be ready. I will keep myself, you know, I'll keep the oil changed every 3,000 miles. I'm not going to wait for the transmission to fall out because I hadn't serviced the transmission or my engine. I'm not going to go to the doctor and say, "I'm just falling apart, doctor. Every part of my body's acting up." I'm going to go and do some regular checkups, you know. I'm going to keep myself recalibrated back to God's word on a regular basis so that he can tweak it as we go along, which is a lot less painful than the overhaul process that most of us need to go through, it seems like, that do that whole showing up when things are not going well. God help us that when a red light comes on our dash, that we don't ignore it, but that we pull over to the side at the very first chance we get and pull out the owner's manual, which is called the Bible, and say, "Why is this red light going off in my life? And I want to get this thing fixed now, before it turns into a catastrophe." Amen? God help us. Help us. So as I studied the palm tree, listen to this. I thought it was really interesting this week. I discovered something very interesting. In the natural, in the Middle East, palm trees back in the day when the word was written, when scripture was written, they were abundant. Palm trees were abundant. Now, I have not been to the Middle East. I've not been to Israel or any place like that. So I'm going by what they said. So I'm I hope maybe you can verify that if you've been there. But I know that they were abundant back in the day, way back when. But now, if you go there, they're very rare. Palm trees are rare, more rare there than ever before. See, back in the day, those trees were actually used. They used every part of the tree. You know, the fruit of it, the palm, the trunk, everything about it they used for either food or construction or different things like that. They really relied upon the palm tree back in the day for survival. It was very few things that were growing there, but the palm tree was very, very, there was a lot of them. And so they were able to use them. But now there's not. And I found that to be, that correlation to not be coincidental. Because think about it. How many times do Christians start off strong, being completely sold out to Christ, and then serve him wholeheartedly, and him being their very life, and him being their very breath, and him being their only passion and reason to live, but only for that passion and commitment to fade as circumstances and temptations of daily life lure them away, and unfortunately, other things take his place. See, the people in the Middle East now, they don't depend on the palm trees. They have other things that they can enjoy and live off of, where back then, the palm tree was their source of survival in the physical sense. Spiritually, we've done the same thing. If we're not careful, we can do the same thing. Well, I got Jesus, so I got that. Stick that in my holster. Check that off my list. Put him on the shelf. And then I'm going to depend on my retirement. I'm going to depend on my abilities. I'm going to rely on my relationships. I'm going to rely on these other things in my life, because I got the salvation thing. I got that. But it's not something that's focal and primary and central to our lives as it used to be. And that's part of recalibrating. If maybe you served the Lord for years and years, and maybe you find yourself kind of drifting away, as we talked about last week, where that 1 degree on a ship, if you set a course for 1 degree off of the course of the destination that you want to go, after a period of 100 miles or so, you'll be so far off. You'll be so far off of your course. So let's recalibrate now if we're 1 degree off and make sure we stay on that true north and not let anything take the place of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So the palm tree, it symbolizes our desire to serve God long term. We stand firm in our commitment to serve him, and we're faithful throughout our lives as we're planted and continue to dwell in the house of the Lord. So let's add the material of the olive tree along with the myrtle tree and the pine tree, and then let's also include the palm. What that is it's God's blessings. It's our witness of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's keeping. And that's our long-term commitment. And even to narrow it down even further, it's blessings, witness, keeping, commitment. Those four things are incredible materials that we can have in our lives. I hope that as we recalibrate our lives back to God's word in 2015, that we'll take and look at these building materials that maybe you've chosen in your life and that I've chosen in my life, and we'll say, hey, this is not the best thing for me. I'm going to push those aside, and I'm going to reach into God's forest and pull these materials out that will help me to be more like Christ, that'll help me in my walk with Christ, that'll help me to be a greater influence for God's kingdom as I serve him. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 11, and thanks for staying with me this morning. I'm just going to say a couple more things here, and then we'll close in prayer. It says that we're co-workers in God's service, and you're God's field. You're God's building. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, with Jesus being our solid foundation, we'll take the olive tree. We'll take the lumber from the olive tree, the branches, all that that represents of God's blessings and abundance. That's directly tied to our obedience to his word. And then we'll take the material of the pine tree, which is simply represents our fragrant witness of Jesus to others. We'll take the material of the myrtle tree, which represents the Holy Spirit keeping us until the return of Jesus. And then we'll take the material of the palm tree, which represents our commitment to serving God long-term, consistently, throughout our lives, dwelling in his house, and remaining fruitful all of our days on this earth for his glory. In this temporary shelter of our time on earth, we would be wise to include these materials as the people in the day of Nehemiah did. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, today we're not perfect. We don't claim to be. We never will be. Until we see you face to face, and our perfection is only going to be because of what you've done in us and through us. But Lord, we do know that there's certain areas of our life that we need to recalibrate. And maybe there's some building materials that we've really been dependent upon in our lives that are not the wisest building materials. And maybe we've built this on a sinking sand foundation that if storms come and when trials come, that we've built will be blown away anyway. So Lord, help us to start from scratch here this morning. Just going to recalibrate and take out the blueprints of your word and say, okay, this is the right construction. This is what's going to help me. I'm going to lay the foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ as my solid foundation. And I'm going to build on it and use these materials. As I do all of these things, Lord, I'm going to make sure that the if-then principle is in place in my life, that I will see my life prosper, but only as my soul prospers in you. I will see all these other things added unto me, but only as I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. I will be fruitful all of the days of my life only as I dwell in the house of the Lord. Lord, help us. Give us wisdom. Open our eyes to see that there's nothing new under the sun, that this is the right way to go. Doesn't matter how it's repackaged, how the world repackages things, it's always going to lead to death. But Lord, your solid, true, dependable word is something that we can build our lives upon. And Jesus, we thank you that you're our foundation. Help us, Lord Jesus, to enjoy your abundance and blessings as we walk in obedience to your word. Help us, Father God, to emanate the sweet aroma of your presence out from us to those in our witness to you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be sheltered under the covering of your wings so that by your Holy Spirit, he will keep us and no harm will befall us until you come and catch us away. And Father, we thank you that you're going to help us to stand strong long-term in our relationship with you and never, ever, ever give up. Never let anybody else take your place.